This is the October edition of Ask, Science and Exploration for Curious Kids. I'm Chris Radio volunteer Ron Pariser. The cover of the magazine features Count Dracula holding a vial of blood and is titled Brilliant Blood. Page 2, Nosy News by Tracy von der Brink. Calling Dr. Rakus. Researchers at the Gunung Lusur National Park in Sumatra noticed Rakus, one of the orangutans that lives in the protected rainforest, was injured. He had a wound on his cheek, possibly from a fight with another male. Then Rakus surprised the scientists by picking leaves from a plant known to help with healing. He chewed them, put their juice on the cut, and covered it all with more leaves. He also ate some of the leaves. The next day he did it again, and he also rested more than usual. 5 days later the cut had closed. A month later it was completely healed. Researchers have been studying orangutans in the national park for 21 years and have never seen one treat itself with medicine before. They wonder if Rakus used the leaves by accident, then did it again because his cut felt better, or if he knew it would help. Orangutans are known to share skills with one another, so it's possible Rakus might share how to treat wounds with others in his group. Researchers will be watching to see if he does. In the photograph, you see Rakus with the cut, then he's chewing the leaves, and then the injury has healed. Zia says, poor thing. Bone Pony says, don't worry, he's all better now. No magic cloak needed. Leafhoppers are insects that match their names. They quickly jump from leaf to leaf to find sap to suck. These common backyard bugs can be pests that harm plants. But one group of scientists think leafhoppers could inspire new technology to help protect our skin, or even create a sort of invisibility cloak. Leafhoppers make tiny particles shaped a bit like soccer balls. They coat their bodies with them, but scientists don't understand why. To try and find out, a team at Pennsylvania State University used a high-tech 3D printer to create shapes like the ones leafhoppers make, but much bigger. The scientists found that the shapes scatter visible light and absorb UV or ultraviolet light. They think the leafhoppers may cover themselves with the particles to hide from birds and other predators that use UV light to find them. Now the team is working on making a coating the way leafhoppers do. The scientist says, if it works, a coating that absorbs UV light could make a better sunscreen to protect our skin. Or, if they can make it scatter and absorb enough light, it might make things seem invisible to our eyes. In the photograph of the leafhopper, it is thinking, nothing to see here. Students crack an ancient mystery. When the volcano known as Mount Vesuvius erupted in 79 CE, it buried the Roman city of Herculaneum in layers of ash 82 feet, 25 meters, deep. One of the buried homes held a library with more than 1,000 scrolls, rolls of paper used as books in ancient times. The scrolls were discovered in the 18th century, but they were too fragile to unroll and read. The ash's heat had turned them into charred lumps. In 2023, a contest called the Vesuvius Challenge released scans of some of the scrolls and offered prizes to anyone who could figure out how to read them. To win, a team of three college computer science students developed an artificial intelligence system to detect tiny spots of ink on a scroll and then put them together to form letters. Experts were able to read parts of one scroll for the first time in 2,000 years. The students won a $700,000 prize for their work. More importantly, they may have unlocked the key to reading the rest of the scrolls. Avery says, more books to read. I'm going to skip Nestor's Dock and turn to page 6. Life's Blood by Margaret J. Anderson. Art by Ariane Elsamek. Try this. press two fingers gently against the side of your neck below your chin. Feel the little thump, thump? That's your heart pumping blood through your veins. Your blood is always on the move. Once every minute, it travels all the way around your body and back again to your heart. Your heart pumps all that blood around. Today, every school kid knows that. But for thousands of years, even the greatest doctors in the world didn't know why the heart beat or what flowed through the body's many tubes. Some thought veins also carried air or even your spirit. What goes on inside the human body was just as mysterious as the stars. Zia says, I've been putting a pump on my Valentines. There's an illustration at the top of page 6. The caption reads, Shine a flashlight in your mouth. That red glow in your cheek is your blood, the liquid of life. Gladiator School. That's really not too surprising once you stop to think about it. After all, you can't see through your skin. You can feel some of the things that are going on inside you. You can feel your heart beating or your chest filling with air. You can listen to the weird gurgling in your stomach. You can see that food and water go in one end of you and come out the other. But what goes on in between? With no way to look inside, doctors could only guess. Of course, even in ancient times, when people butchered animals for food or got injured in battles, they could see organs and blood. But it wasn't always easy to figure out how all that messy stuff works inside a living person. One of the earliest doctors to investigate what goes on in the body was a Greek called Galen, 130 to 200 CE. Galen got his start tending to wounded gladiators, professional fighters who fought with real weapons in front of cheering crowds. As you might expect, gladiators did a lot of bleeding. Perhaps that inspired Galen's interest in blood. It certainly gave him a good way to study the insides of bodies. Galen also carefully cut open dead animals to discover how they work. The books Galen wrote were used by doctors for hundreds of years. Unfortunately, many of Galen's ideas were totally wrong. For instance, Galen didn't know that the heart beats because it is pumping blood. He thought that blood vessels pulsed on their own, pulling blood into the heart. Marvin says, Can we open you up to see how you work inside? Bot says, Just ask. I'll tell you. He also had no idea that the same blood circulates over and over again through the body. He thought that blood got used up as soon as it left the heart, and that the liver constantly made new blood from the food we eat. There's an illustration of a gladiator laying on the ground bleeding, and Galen says, Mind if I watch you bleed? According to Galen, inside the heart, dark blood made from digested food in the liver was warmed, and a life-giving substance called vital spirit was added to it. Galen believed that the lungs made this vital spirit out of air and that it turned the blood bright red. Well, he was right that blood gets something from the air. The circle of blood. Galen's views were unquestioned for almost 1,500 years. In fact, doctors who doubted Galen were sometimes burned at the stake. It wasn't until the 1600s that an English doctor named William Harvey figured out that the heart pumps blood around the body. Simple math told Harvey that Galen couldn't be right, that each heartbeat pumped all new blood. Harvey measured the blood pumped out by each heartbeat of the heart, about 2 ounces, 57 grams. That means that a heart beating 72 times a minute pushes out 9 pounds, 4.1 kilogram, of blood. For Galen to be right, a person's liver would need to be making 540 pounds, or 245 kilograms, of blood every hour from the food a person ate. It couldn't be done. The answer had to be that the same blood is pumped over and over again. As Harvey put it, I began to think there was some sort of motion as in a circle. By doing simple experiments that involved pinching off arteries and veins, Harvey was able to map the blood flow through the heart and around the body. The right side of the heart pumps blood to the lungs, The blood then returns to the left side of the heart, where it is pumped to the rest of the body. On page 8, Rasputin says, "Isn't blood ketchup?" Elvis says, "No, it's cherry juice." And Avery says, I don't think that's right." You can recreate one of Harvey's experiments. Take a look at the illustration on the page before proceeding. Find an unbranched vein on the back of your hand or on your forearm. Firmly place two fingers on it. With the finger closest to your heart, stroke the vein in the direction of blood flow, toward the heart. This empties the vein of blood. Keep pressing on the vein with the other finger. The vein should not refill. Blood in the veins can only flow toward the heart. Now lift your finger and watch the vein fill. Back to the article. What is blood? Harvey didn't get everything right. He didn't know exactly why blood circulates. He thought, for instance, that blood traveled to the lungs to be cooled. Today we know that blood picks up oxygen in the lungs and gets rid of carbon dioxide. And it does much more. Blood carries food, minerals, germ fighters, and chemical messages all over the body. It also collects waste chemicals from cells. The liver and kidneys filter out the wastes and send them to be expelled in pee and poop. Blood is made up of several different kinds of cells floating in a yellowish liquid called plasma. A 100-pound, 40-kilogram person has about 7 pounds, or 3 kilograms, of blood in his or her body. Every drop contains millions of cells. In the insert, little doors in the veins. Harvey's first clue that blood circulates around and around was the discovery of tiny flaps like little doors in the veins. Harvey noticed that the doors, called valves, opened in one direction only. Because of these valves, the blood in each vein can flow only one way, around the body in a big loop. On page 9, Body Worlds is a traveling exhibit that shows what bodies look like under the skin. If only Galen could have seen it. Blood vessels seem to be everywhere in this arm, but there are even more that you can't see, tiny blood vessels called capillaries. All these tubes carry blood to every part of your body, even inside bones. The blood brings oxygen and nutrients that keep your body working. Zia says, "Wow, that's a lot of blood tubes." Avery says, "A human body has around 60,000 miles, 97,000 kilometers, of blood vessels, enough to go around the world." Marvin says, "Uh-oh, I think I'm about to squash some of them and get a bruise." Why are red blood cells such a funny shape? Their flattened, donut-shaped folds easily, so they can slip through tiny blood vessels just a single cell wide. Perfectly round cells would get stuck. There's an illustration of the white blood cells, red blood cells, plasma, and platelets. Each blood cell has a job to do. Red blood cells carry oxygen from the lungs to the rest of the body. White blood cells are the defense team. They fight bacteria and viruses that cause disease. Platelets are the repair crew. They float around in the blood, but get spiky and stick together if a blood vessel is damaged. This makes a clot, a little plug to stop the bleeding. Red blood cells are fitted with hemoglobin, a special oxygen-trapping molecule. The hemoglobin snags oxygen at the lungs and lets go of it at cells. Hemoglobin is red and gives blood its red color. Each red blood cell lasts about 4 months. In that time, it will make about 75,000 trips around your body. When blood cells wear out, marrow inside your bones makes new blood cells to replace them. Every second of every day, your heart beats. Thump, thump. Although only the size of your fist, your heart is the most powerful muscle in your body. That's because it has the most important job, to keep the blood flowing around and around. In the insert on page 10, "Is my face red?" Eager to get that last bit of ice cream soda, you slurp hard Everyone in the restaurant turns around to stare. Oops. If you're like many people, your face has just gone bright red. Why? Blushing is an automatic response that happens when you're embarrassed. When you make a social goof, or think you might have, two small glands, one on top of each kidney, make adrenaline, a fear chemical that wakes you up. Adrenaline also widens blood vessels in your face, letting in more blood and giving your cheeks that unmistakable hot pink flush. Humans are the only animals that blush. Scientists still aren't entirely sure why we do it, but it might have evolved as a way to signal to others that we know we've made a misstep, an automatic, sorry, that can't be faked. Marvin says, holding on to the cookie jar, "It's a good thing I don't blush." On page 11 is a photograph from Body Worlds. The body's delivery system. The first job of blood is to pick up oxygen from the lungs and carry it to every cell in the body. Your cells need oxygen to release stored energy. Pump. Your heart is your strongest muscle, working day in, day out to pump blood around. Chemical factory. The liver filters the blood and checks to make sure the blood has the right chemical balance. If the mix isn't quite right, the liver tries to fix it. Air filter. Once the oxygen has been dropped off, blood picks up carbon dioxide from cells and carries it to the lungs to be breathed out. Messenger service. Blood carries a constant stream of chemical messages between the brain and different body parts to help all the organs work together. Blood highway. Arteries flow away from the heart. They carry bright red blood filled with oxygen. Veins flow toward the heart. They carry blood back to the lungs to dump carbon dioxide and pick up more oxygen. Zia says, "Is all that really inside me?" Garbage remover. Your two kidneys remove wastes and mix them with extra water to make pee. Your bladder stores the liquid waste until you can get rid of it. Heater. Blood also moves heat around to keep your whole body the same temperature. Page 12. Strange Blood by Christy Peterson. Bird blood is red. Crab's blood is blue. What color blood is the right one for you? There's a picture of a great heron. Even great blue herons have red blood. Zia says, "I want purple." When you cut your finger, the blood that oozes out is a bright, bloody red. But why is it that color? One of blood's most important jobs is to deliver oxygen all around the body. The oxygen is carried by tangly molecules inside blood cells. These molecules include bits of metal that grab onto oxygen. In red-blooded mammals, the oxygen carrier is called hemoglobin. It uses iron atoms to grab oxygen. Hemoglobin is red and gives blood its red color. But hemoglobin isn't the only way to carry oxygen around. Other animals have different oxygen traps, and each gives blood a different color. There's a whole rainbow. Hemoglobin is a big, tangly molecule with four bits of iron inside. Oxygen likes iron and jumps in. When the blood cell passes a body cell that needs oxygen, the oxygen jumps out and carbon dioxide jumps in instead. There are pictures of the rabbit, tree frog, and spurred tortoise. Red. Most vertebrates, animals with backbones, have red blood that uses iron to carry oxygen around. When hemoglobin is full of oxygen, it is bright red. After the oxygen is delivered, it looks darker. Oxygen carrier. Hemoglobin. Blue. Octopuses, squids, crabs, snails, and scorpions have blue blood, not red. Their oxygen carrier uses copper instead of iron, and when copper grabs oxygen, it looks blue-green. Oxygen carrier, hemocyanin. The squid says, "I like to color coordinate." There's a picture also of a scorpion and a snail. Puck says, I am a true blue blood. Green. Christmas tree sea worms have green blood. It uses iron, like hemoglobin, but in differently shaped molecules that look green. Oxygen carrier, chlorocroin. There is a photograph of a Christmas tree worm. Next, there's a photograph of peanut worms. Violet. Some ocean worms and shellfish have violet blood. Their oxygen collecting team uses two iron atoms instead of one. It looks purple when it's full of oxygen. Oxygen carrier, hemerythrin. There's a photograph of a lingula. Colorless. And of course, there are exceptions to every rule. Beneath the Antarctic ice live a strange group of ice fishes that don't have any kind of oxygen-carrying molecule, so their blood is pale, like milky water. In these fish, oxygen is carried by a different part of the blood, the plasma. There's a photograph of the ice fish. Page 14. Super blood. Blood does a lot of amazing things. It carries food and oxygen to cells, clears away waste, carries messages, and moves heat around. Some animals have blood that can do even more. Their blood has superpowers. Marvin says, pickles give me super mischief blood. There's a photograph of a wood frog. Antifreeze blood. Wood frogs are small, but they use an amazing trick to survive the winter. They freeze solid, then thaw out in the spring. For most animals, freezing is dangerous. That's because when water in the body freezes, it expands and forms sharp crystals, crushing the body's cells. But when it gets cold, this frog fills up its cells with a thick, sugary syrup that stiffens them so they don't get crushed. Special proteins in the frog's blood cause smooth shells of water to freeze around cells like armor. This protects the cells instead of breaking them, so the frog sits frozen until spring, when it thaws and hops away good as new. Many fish that live in icy oceans have similar tricks to keep their blood from freezing solid. There's a photograph of a Cuvier's beaked whale. Blood for deep dives. Cuvier's beaked whales can dive deeper and longer than any other mammal. They can hold their breath for over 2 hours. What's their secret? Like other diving mammals, they have more blood than land animals of the same size. And that blood is packed with a lot of extra red blood cells. This means they can store more oxygen, so they can go a long time between breaths. This souped-up blood gives ocean air breathers super diving powers. Poison blood. The blood of Prasinohema skinks isn't red like that of other lizards. It's green. And not just the skink's blood. Its muscles, its bones, even its tongue is green. This is because it's full of a greenish chemical called biliverdin, a waste product that the liver usually gets rid of. Too much biliverdin is poisonous. So how do the skinks survive? And why do they have so much biliverdin in their blood anyway? No one knows for sure. Some scientists think that these lizards may use the toxins in their bodies to fight off the same nasty parasite that causes malaria in people. There is a photograph of the Prasinohema skink. Zia says, Plush, you're cut. Plush Potum says, I'm a stuffed animal. I bleed foam bits. Blood to the rescue. This strange-looking creature may have saved your life, and you didn't even know it. That's because the blue blood of horseshoe crabs is a super germ detector. It thickens and forms a clot around even tiny amounts of bacteria, viruses, or fungi. In the wild, this helps the crabs avoid infections, and it also helps us. Medicine factories use drops of horseshoe crab blood to check that each batch of medicine is safe before it goes to stores. The super blood of these crabs protects people all over the world. There is a photograph of the horseshoe crab. The blue blood of horseshoe crabs is collected from live animals that are then returned to the sea. Scientists are working hard to find a way to make artificial crab blood so they can avoid disturbing the crabs. Avery says, do horses really wear shoes that spiny? And Bone Pony says, I hope not. Ice fish diaries. Like the ice they live under, the blood of some Antarctic fishes is white, not red. Why? One brave science teacher went to find out, by Paula Dell. Page 16. April 13. We set sail this morning and are headed to the Antarctic. It was a beautiful day as we traveled through the Magellan Straits. Lots of birds followed us for a bit, and some Camarasins, dolphins, zipped alongside the boat. In the photograph, Camarasins dolphins look like mini orca whales and are super fast swimmers. April 17. We arrived at Palmer Station today and got to work unpacking supplies. Palmer Station can house about 46 people. It's very cozy. Along with the ice fish team, there are scientists here studying birds, ocean worms, Earth's magnetic field, ocean microbes, and more. Everyone's projects are so interesting. I want to check them all out. Tomorrow, we head out for our first fishing expedition. In the photograph, here's Palmer Station with a few of the locals. In another photograph, this is a trap for fish called a fish pot. The black bag has bait inside. The bait lures the fish in, but sadly, no meals are served once inside. April 20. Today, we set fish traps. We put a little bait in each. The fish can swim in, but they can't get out. Then we collect the traps and put the fish into our aquarium. This time, we caught mostly red-blooded fishes. To stay warm, we dress in lots of layers. I put on long underwear, fleece pants, fleece jacket, fishing pants, knee-high waterproof boots, wool gloves, waterproof gloves, fleece, hat, hard hat, ready to go. With my float coat on top, I look like an overstuffed orange penguin. But hey, I was cozy and warm. Lisa, one of the fish scientists, shows off our stylish safety coats. A long flap hangs behind and attaches in front. It's called a beaver tail. This keeps the coat from coming off if you fall in the water, but it does look a bit like a diaper, really. April 23rd. We had a good fishing trip and got some white-blooded ice fish. We also got a lot of bristly ocean worms for one of the other science teams, and an octopus. They really do live everywhere. In the photograph, a white-blooded ice fish. Paula Dell taught science at Lynn Blorn Math and Science Academy in Chicago. She went to Antarctica in 2011 as part of the Polar TREC program, which pairs teachers with research teams. Page 18, April 25th. So what's so special about the ice fish? Many things. They have adapted to life in extreme cold. They do not have scales or swim bladders, which fish use to go up and down in the water. They prefer to hang out near the ocean floor, and their blood is full of special proteins that keep their cells from freezing. The white-blooded ice fish have another strange feature. They have no hemoglobin, the red stuff that carries oxygen through the body. Because they don't have hemoglobin, their blood isn't red, but almost clear, like frosted glass. Pale blood means their gills are white too, not red, and their hearts are much larger than red-blooded fish of the same size. So without hemoglobin, how do these fish get oxygen to their cells, you ask? It's carried around by the plasma, the clear part of the blood. These fish may also absorb oxygen directly through their skin. It helps that the cold Antarctic water holds a lot more oxygen than warmer oceans. A fish without hemoglobin is quite strange. So, of course, it's very interesting to scientists. In the photograph, young ice fish are nearly transparent. April 29. Now, to give our fish some tests. Scientists already know that ice fishes don't like warmer water. At higher temperatures, fishes' bodies use more oxygen and have a harder time storing it. So would more oxygen in the water help them stand the heat? We'll test both white-blooded fishes and red-blooded fishes. We'll put some of each into two tanks. Both tanks will be slowly warmed, but one tank will have extra oxygen pumped in. Then we'll see whether the fish that get extra oxygen can stand higher temperatures before they have trouble staying upright. Dr. Christian O'Brien, in the photograph, takes a blood sample from a fish. Blood can tell you a lot about what goes on inside an animal. In another photograph, how courteous this Gentoo penguin decided to wave when she saw I was taking her picture. Sisyphus says, "So is it fish or fishes?" And Puck says, "Many fish, but many kinds of fishes." Blood. It tells a story. Your blood travels around to every cell in your body. Everything that comes into or goes out of your cells is carried in your blood. So blood can tell doctors a lot about what's going on inside you. That is also why scientists collect blood samples from the animals they study. A single drop of blood can show whether an animal is healthy, what it eats, how old it is, who it's related to, whether it's pregnant, and what diseases it's had. So how did the white-blooded fishes get white blood? Scientists think that long ago, a mutation, a small change in the DNA, sort of like a wrong letter in a word, knocked out some ice fish's ability to make hemoglobin, a red molecule that traps oxygen. But the cold water of Antarctica holds so much oxygen that the fish could survive without it. Eventually, they became their own new species. It's also possible that not having hemoglobin helps the fish in some way we haven't figured out yet. May 1st. Today, I help weigh southern giant petrel chicks. These big birds eat seafood, carrion, and even other birds. They are high on the food chain down here. To get to the petrel chicks, we had to step through a field of seals. It was really cool. At first, you don't really notice them. Then, you start to realize that all those rocks are seals and that you're greatly outnumbered. It looks like it should be simple. You find the petrel chick, pick it up, put it in a bag, and weigh it. Easy, right? Well, they aren't so keen to be picked up and put in a bag. Would you like that? So they squawk and snap their large, sharp bills. Bite-proof gloves are required. I wrote down the numbers as Christina and Jeff weighed the chicks, as shown in the photograph. I couldn't trust the petrel chicks to tell me their accurate weight, no matter how nicely I asked. May 3rd. Yesterday, I had a video call with some of my students. This was the best way I could think of to get them to visit me in Antarctica. It was great to see their wonderful, familiar faces. In the photograph, today we pulled up mud from the ocean floor, looking for worms and other bottom-dwelling creatures. Depending on who you are, all this mud might seem like a lot of fun or your worst nightmare. I didn't mind it a bit. May 21st. Today we took a little break to go swimming, as shown in the photograph. While that might sound death-defying, it's very refreshing. Cold and salty. It makes you appreciate being warm-blooded. Actually, most fish make their own body heat too, like us, but unlike reptiles. But fish lose their heat to the water as fast as they make it, so they stay about the same temperature as the water around them. June 1st. I am amazed at how clear the stars are here. I have never seen the Milky Way so full, and since this is the southern hemisphere, the sky looks upside down. Orion looks like he's standing on his head, and the phases of the moon are reversed. The Fish Spy. Inspired by my Antarctic adventure, Some of my students build a waterproof camera float that can be towed behind a boat to take pictures of the seafloor where the ice fish live. They made a sturdy metal frame to protect the camera. It had to be light, but strong enough to withstand the pressure and cold, salty water. On my next trip, I'll take it along and give it a try. There's a photograph. My students are working on a camera box to spy on the fish. June 4th. So what have we learned? Our swim test showed that extra oxygen in the water didn't really help either the red-blooded or the white-blooded fishes to withstand warmer temperatures. They just don't like heat. This was a bit surprising. It makes me wonder, what will happen to the ice fish as the oceans warm? And what can we do to help? June 8. Too soon, it's time to leave. There is so much beauty down here, it never gets dull. Paula is holding a sign that reads, Chicago, 7,486 meters. Back home to balmy Chicago. Now, Chicago is on the map in Antarctica. Oops, I used a lowercase m. Hope no one thinks Chicago is only 7,486 meters away. Page 22. Buckets of Blood. Art by Rupert Van Wyck. Vampires on the loose. Dramatic death scene approaching. You're going to need some blood. Preferably blood as fake as your vampire's removable fangs. Real blood is no good. It starts to clump and thicken the minute it meets air. Plus, it smells, attracts flies, and is hard to clean up. And, ew! So, what's a poor actor to do? In the early days of movies, before color film was invented, the favorite fake blood was chocolate syrup. Filmed in black and white, it looks just like blood. Modern movie magicians buy their fake blood by the gallon from special effects companies. There's blood specially made for spattering or sword fights or a fake bloody nose. It even comes in green. But for home theatricals, it's easy to make your own splendid gore. Here's one favorite recipe you can try. There's a bogus blood recipe that you can try with your parent, teacher, or guardian. Now, how do you get that fake blood flowing when you need it? When a scene calls for some bloodshed, actors first tape small bags of fake blood under their costumes. Then, when it's time to sword fight, the actor breaks the bag by squeezing it or pulling a string. Arg! Got me! The blood bag is one of the oldest tricks in theater, helping actors bleed since the plays of ancient Rome. There's a photograph, one in color and one in black and white, and the caption reads, Blood or Chocolate? In black and white, it's hard to tell. Marvin is lying on the ground with fake blood all over him and a knife in his chest, and Plush Potum says, Hey, who used all the ketchup? Page 24. Lunching with Leeches by Layla Stanley, art by Amanda Shepherd. What does a nice swim in a creek have in common with ear surgery and tracking rare animals through the jungle? The answer is a real-life vampire. It's a warm summer day, perfect for a dip in the pond, but when you come out of the water, you notice a small, worm-like creature stuck to your foot. As you watch, it swells in size, filling up with your blood. Congratulations, you've just met a leech. Don't worry, it won't drink much. Meet the blood eaters. The leech in your pond, like mosquitoes and vampire bats, is a hematophage, which means blood eater. Eating blood might seem unusual to us and maybe a bit icky, but for some insects and animals, it's a clever way to get a good meal full of protein without the trouble of hunting. Blood eaters prefer to be sneaky, not scary. Some, like vampire bats, hunt at night when their prey is asleep. They nip gently so their victims don't feel the bite, and they just take a little blood. Chances are the animal will never miss it. Leeches are annelids, cousins of earthworms. There are hundreds of different kinds of leeches. They live all over the world, mostly in fresh water or damp woods, though a few live in the ocean. Not all leeches drink blood. Some eat insects or dead things, but for many leeches, blood hits the spot. A blood-sucking leech has three jaws and hundreds of tiny, very sharp teeth. A typical pond leech usually feeds for about 20 minutes. The blood from this meal will last it several months. Leeches have to be good at storing up food because they can't be sure when the next meal might wander along. At each meal, they suck up to 10 times their body weight of blood. That's a lot for a little critter, but not much for the host animal. There's a cartoon. Marvin says to Plush Bottom, who has a leech on her foot, "It's going to suck you dry." She says, "Eek, get it off." Calling Dr. Leech. To dislodge a leech, gently move your fingernail around its mouth to break its suction grip. When it drops off, you may bleed a bit where it was attached. Leeches have special stuff in their spit called hirudin. This thins the blood and stops it from clotting, so the leech can keep drinking. Even after the leech lets go and drops off, its host may bleed for quite a while. In ancient times, leeches' thirst for blood made them a favorite with doctors. Before germs were discovered, many people believed that diseases were caused by the fluids in the body getting out of balance. One cure was to drain away bad blood with leeches. In fact, the name leech comes from the old English word leche, which means doctor. Marvin says to Plush Bottom, "Luckily, I have a patented leech remover." Leeches were used to treat everything from stomach aches to baldness, though they often did patients more harm than good. So many leeches were sold to doctors that they became rare in some places. Luckily for the leeches, as doctors learned more about how the body really works, they found better cures. But recently, leeches have been making a surprise comeback as medical helpers. When doctors need to fix body parts full of very tiny blood vessels, like eyelids and ears, sometimes the area will swell dangerously with blood. Placing a leech or two on the spot keeps the blood flowing and drains off the extra blood, helping the area to heal. Leeches have saved many injured fingers, toes, and noses this way. These modern medicinal leeches don't come from ponds. They're grown in tanks on special leech farms. At the top of page 26 in the illustration, the doctor is holding multiple containers of leeches. Hearing problem leeches, toothache leeches, chickenpox leeches, and broken bone leeches. He's holding up headache leeches, and the patient says, "No thanks, my head doesn't hurt that badly." At the bottom of the page, "Have you seen these animals? Trung So Munjak, Annamite Striped Rabbit, Greater Bamboo Lemur Soala?" And the leech says, "Yes, they were delicious." Back to the article. Leech detectives. Leeches are also helping scientists in another surprising way, to track rare and endangered animals. How can a little leech do that? By snacking. In dense tropical rainforests, rare animals can be hard to spot. Leeches, on the other hand, are easy to find. In fact, scientists walking through the jungle often end up covered with them. And these leeches likely have fed on other animals as well. Aha! When a leech eats an animal's blood, traces of DNA from that animal can still be found inside the leech even months later. The DNA bits tell scientists what kinds of animals the leech has fed on. A snapshot of the forest. A sample of just 26 leeches from a forest in Vietnam revealed traces of many rare animals, including two species scientists had never seen in the wild. Leeches live all over the world, so they could be used to track endangered animals in many places. And all they ask in return is a little sip. Love this story, says Count Dracula. Back on page 27 in the insert, the kindly ones. There's a picture of a vampire bat. Vampire bats are native to South and Central America. They find large sleeping animals at night by heat and smell. Then they make a small cut with their sharp front teeth and lap up some blood. Like that of leeches, the saliva of vampire bats stops blood from clotting. Their bites are so small and their teeth so sharp that usually the victims don't feel a thing. Back at the bat cave, vampire bats are good neighbors. They often share their blood meal with less lucky siblings and cousins who didn't manage to find a drink. In the cartoon, Plush Pottum says, "Wait a minute, I'm a stuffed animal. I don't have blood." Marvin says, "Drat." The leech says, "I thought she tasted funny." Page 28. Other bloodsuckers. Here are just a few of the roughly 30,000 species of animals that feed on blood. 30,000 may sound like a lot, but it's just a fraction of the total number of animal species on Earth. That number ranges from 5 million to more than 700 million, depending on whom you ask. Luckily, most bloodsuckers are small. Imagine if an animal as big as an elephant or even a cat needed to fill up on blood. There's a photograph of a mosquito, a tick, a bedbug, and a river lamprey. Page 29. Ask Jimmy and the Bug. Words by Ellen Braff. Pictures by Dean Stanton. Yawn. Yo, Jimmy. Elena H. of Wisconsin asks, why can't people sleep with their eyes open? Some people do sleep with their eyes open. Sleepwalkers. They can get up, climb stairs, even fix snacks. Yet, they're fast asleep. When they wake, they remember nothing. Do they walk around all night? No, usually only about 10 minutes. Scientists still aren't sure what causes this rare problem. Other people snooze with their eyelids slightly open. In this case, it's just weak face muscles that prevent their eyelids from closing completely. But most of us sleep with our eyes tight shut. Why? Closed eyelids keep our eyes moist, but there may be more to it than that. Scientists think sleep is a time when the brain sorts and processes the day's information. So shutting your eyes might be a way of saying, no new information now? Could be. Light also triggers awake chemicals in the brain, something you don't want when you're sleeping. Though, dolphins, whales, and some birds can sleep with one eye open and half their brain awake. I'd like to learn that trick. Have a question? Bug us anytime. Ask at cricketmedia.com. The rest of the magazine includes contests and letters. You can look at these with your parent, teacher, or guardian. That's it for the October issue of Ask, Science and Exploration for Curious Kids. I'm Chris Radio Volunteer Ron Pariser. So long until next time.